Christ's grace and virtue did not appeal to Jews. Quoted, these words do not mean that Christ was unattractive in person. In the eyes of the Jews, Christ had no beauty that they should desire him. They looked for a Messiah who would come with outward display and worldly glory, one who would do great things for the Jewish nation, exalting it above every other nation on the earth. But Christ came with his divinity hidden by the garb of humanity, unobtrusive, humble, poor. They compared this man with the proud boast they had made, and they could see no beauty in him. They did not discern the holiness and purity of his character. The grace and virtue revealed in his life did not appeal to them. A picture that will subdue and humble, prophecy foretold that Christ was to appear as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, wrote Isaiah, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. This chapter should be studied. It presents Christ as the Lamb of God. Those who are lifted up with pride, whose souls are filled with vanity, should look upon this picture of their Redeemer, and humble themselves in the dust. The entire chapter should be committed to memory. Its influence will subdue and humble the soul defiled by sin and uplifted by self-exaltation. Think of Christ's humiliation. He took upon himself fallen, suffering human nature, degraded and defiled by sin. He took our sorrows, bearing our grief and shame. He endured all the temptations wherewith man is beset. He united humanity with divinity, a divine spirit dwelt in a temple of flesh. He united himself with the temple. The Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, because by so doing he could associate with the sinful, sorrowing sons and daughters of Adam. Christ can ransom every soul. It was not alone by dying on the cross that Christ accomplished his work of saving men. The ignominy and suffering and humiliation was a part of his mission. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This penalty Christ bore for the sins of the transgressor, he has borne the punishment for every man, and for this reason he can ransom every soul, however fallen his condition, if he will accept the law of God as his standard of righteousness. Satan assailed Christ, provoked no retaliation. Satan assailed him, Christ, in every point, yet he sinned not in thought, word, or deed. He did no violence, neither was guile found in his mouth. Walking in the midst of sin, he was holy, harmless, undefiled. He was wrongfully accused, yet he opened not his mouth to justify himself. How many now, when accused of that of which they are not guilty, feel that there is a time when forbearance ceases to be a virtue, and losing their temper, speak words which grieve the Holy Spirit? See.